Hey guys, super excited that you're checking in with us today. I hope you get a kick out of this episode. I think it really came out well. We actually recorded this at Camp Fi, the first ever Camp Fi in Gainesville, Florida. There's two things I wanted to let you know going into this episode. First is this is different than our normal Friday roundup. Normally, we would be reviewing the episode with Grumpus Maximus on Monday. But actually, this week, Brad came down with laryngitis. And as a podcaster, having a voice is a minimum requirement to do a podcast. So he was unable to put that together. So we're going to kick that back a week. We're actually going to do the episode and review next Friday for the Grumpus Maximus episode about pensions. But this Friday, we actually have a really cool episode to present to you. It is the first ever Camp Fi Roundtable. And I'm sure it's a format that we're going to continue to use for many years. And I'm super excited to get a chance to share it with you. So with that, welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Congratulations, you have made it to the weekend, and this is your Friday roundup. Super excited to get a chance to do this episode today. It's a little bit different because this was actually recorded at the first ever Camp Fi in Gainesville, Florida. Day three, we did a roundtable featuring JD Nords and Bianca, aka Miss Mazuma. And I should say that's Nords from the Military Guide. I took it for granted that he doesn't need an introduction.
Thank you.
All right. This is going to be a lot of fun. So the camp has been absolutely wonderful. It was a fantastic time. Everybody, make some noise if you had a good time this weekend. Thank you. So what we're going to do tonight is just a final kind of roundtable, super informal discussion. We're going to be featuring a few themes that we're going to talk through, which I'll obviously introduce shortly, and then also hopefully get some of your questions and ideally some of your feedback as well. So we have a mic set up for you guys. Just come on up and we'll try to interweave that with the dialogue. Let me just say personally, for me, this camp, getting a chance to meet your tribe in person and interweave, having a couple beers with some CrossFit, some board games, a pull-up competition, some archery, and a lot of good conversation is overwhelmingly awesome. So that's my little takeaway. That's my write-up. See, because I have a podcast, I can avoid writing blog articles. done. It's so awesome to get a chance to share this time with you. But I think for those of you that are here tonight, many of you came with questions that hopefully to some varying degree have been answered, and others that hopefully we can weave into this dialogue as well. And I thought one of the places that might be really fun to start, I think what's so interesting about our community is that there's so many people that are here at this event that are on the other side of FI. I mean, why would you come to a, you know, Camp FI once you're on the other side? And, you know, it might be an obvious answer, but it is interesting to me how glued together this community is. The entire continuum from having discovered it yesterday to being 10 to 15 years on the backside, you never leave, right? It's just, this is what you wake up in the morning for. Nords, I guess I'll start with you. First of all, just take a second and just introduce yourself formally. But then right after that, take a few minutes and just talk us through, like, what do you get excited about? I mean, you've been your post-FI for 10, 15 years now, something like that?
15 and a half years.
Amazing.
Who's counting?
Right. Who's counting? I'm Doug Nordman. The website is themilitaryguide.com, but just Google The Military Guide. You'll find it. And if you look for Nords or Doug Nordman, you'll find it in the first page of Google results too. That's a testament to persistence for bloggers. So it's not brilliant search engine optimization. It's just showing up every day and writing. And what I get excited about is coming to camps like this where I can talk to people who have been readers or listeners all those years, and they can ask questions that they maybe don't have in their top of their mind when they're emailing, or they never get around to asking that question, or something spurs another thought. And I've learned over the years that every podcast I go on, 10% of that podcast is somebody who is either in uniform in the U.S. military or a veteran of the military. And then there's all the families and friends of somebody who is in the military. So it just helps spread what I've learned about military financial independence to everybody else who needs to learn about it.
So talk to us specifically, like, so you go to Camp Fies, but what about when you're not at Camp Fi? I mean, what is designing your future actually look like for you? Just like literally in the nitty gritty, what does your day actually look like?
I like to write. I cannot stop writing. Every day when I get up, I have thoughts in my brain and I want to write about something. And the only issue with my writing is I lack focus. So if somebody has sent me an email and they have a question and I have a blog post to write, I'm probably going to answer their question first before I do the blog post I'm supposed to be working on. And you find your own pace. So I work on the things that I want to write. I don't feel compelled to pump out one book a year. I don't feel like I have to put out one blog post every week anymore. I've got plenty of content. Now I can focus on different aspects of life or financial independence or military programs. For example, the big debate in 2018, if you're in the U.S. military, you need to pay attention to this, is whether you're going to opt in to the new military retirement system. See me for further more details on that. But I like to write, and I spend the first 20, 30 minutes of every day writing because I've learned that I'm a morning person, and if I get up and start writing and write for 20 or 30 minutes, the rest of my day is free. I know that I've done my share of work for the day, and I can go play the rest of the day. And after that, check the surf forecast, go find out where I need to be, get a couple hours of surfing in. After that, it's normal life. We were raising a daughter, and once we were done parenting her, that part of our life freed up a lot of time. We are also doing the things that everybody else does. We have normal chores, yard work, cleaning, repairs. My wife and I still own a rental property, so we spend maybe an hour or two a month managing that. Although we last year had a major rehab of that and spent 68 days working on rehabbing the rental property, giving it its 20-year overhaul. I hope it's 20 years. And that's normal life. You get up every morning, you make your plans. I would say the difference is that you're totally responsible for your own entertainment. You're also totally responsible for your own schedule. So if you overschedule, it's your fault.
I am curious just because your surfing is a little bit infamous in the community and also just how generous you are with your time and also opening that up to others and basically saying, and I'm going to sandbag you with this by putting this invitation out there that
no,
I know
okay.
you have publicly said, hey, if you want to learn how to surf and want to come to Hawaii, just shoot me an email.
I'll say it again. I'm surfing at White Plains Beach in southwest Oahu two or three times a week. I'm there already and I'd like to surf with my friends. So if you're surfing, come on down. I'll loan you a longboard. If you don't surf yet, we can take care of that. I'll give you a lesson, show you what to do.
And I know that Brandon Turner from Bigger Pockets has taken you up on it. Has anybody else specifically in the FI community taken you up on it?
I've had plenty of people take me up on it. Brandon is the one who developed the most persistence and who is now the most skilled. If you don't know Brandon, you know now that he surfs in 6 to 8 foot waves comfortably, and he makes it look good, and he's also worked on stand-up surfing. Of course, I've probably totally ruined Brandon's work ethic, and he probably is beginning to wonder if he's going to spend his whole life surfing or if he should write another book.
All right, we have a question. Physician on Fire, welcome to the roundup.
Well, thank you, and I don't so much have a question because I already asked it yesterday, but Doug said he would take my family and I surfing in about 1 month, so I will be there at White Plains Beach. I don't quite have the time to put in like Brandon did, and I probably don't have the athletic ability of him either, but I'm looking forward to
You might be surprised how low the bar really is.
Nice. All right, thanks, Doug.
You'll be surfing a Stewart Hydro Hall 10-foot longboard.
Ms. Matsuma, I know that you are well on the path to FI, been writing for at least the last couple of years. Am I right about that?
Yep.
And I'd be very interested, like, so since you're still on this path, tell us a little bit about your day-to-day. What do you get excited about these days? What are you putting your energies into?
Well, my day-to-day, I'm a flight attendant, so my day-to-day is different from most people. I don't work a 9-to-5 job, so it varies a lot. I write sometimes. Other than that, it's being outdoors. I love the outdoors. I like hiking, long-distance hiking for one. And reading, I read a lot of blogs, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and overall I'm just trying to get to my FI point, and then I guess we'll find out where I go from there. Just mostly travel is what I'm really kind of focused on right now.
Is there anything that you're really excited about currently that you see kind of as this big audacious goal over the next several months or year?
Yes, I have some things coming up. A possible move in the future. That's kind of changing my FI plan a little bit. I would have been financially independent in the next couple months, but with my expenses changing coming up soon, it's changed my whole plan, which I think is one of the things that is important, is to kind of keep that plan a little bit flexible, because when you are reaching FI at some point, it can take 1 to 5 years and a lot of things change in your life. So got to keep that a flexible goal, but just know what the end line is.
And JD Raw, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Jonathan. How are you?
Doing great. So you're post-FI, and you have a very
strange not get rich slowly path to FI.
That's true. I got rich quickly thanks to get rich slowly.
The ultimate paradox.
It is.
But I think what I'd like to explore is now that you're on the backside of FI and you really don't need to work for money at this point and you are kind of the prototypical early retiree profile, I would imagine. What are you designing into your life currently, like your day to day?
Well, currently what I'm doing is designing in a lot of work. So I've chosen to reacquire Get Rich Slowly, as your listeners know, because you announced it on your show back in October. And I've set an audacious goal to write 500 articles or to publish 500 articles at Get Rich Slowly in 2018. So I've basically gone the opposite of just laying around. What I've been doing too much of actually over the past year is, I told Scott Trench this earlier, is I've been sitting around in my underwear playing video games, and it's not a pretty picture for anyone, not even me. And after having reacquired Get Rich Slowly, I'm looking forward to the work and I'm energized by the challenge. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Anything outside of Get Rich Slowly and video game? What video game?
I've been playing Hearthstone, which is a digital card game, which seems like a paradox, but I love the game. Don't get me started. Anything else? Yeah. I spent a lot of time walking the dog. I have a 2-year-old puppy that I have never owned a dog as an adult, but those of you who have dogs understand it takes a lot of time, especially an energetic little hound. And my plans for 2018, I want to get fit again. When I first became financially independent, I spent a good chunk of my time getting fit, and I really enjoyed being fit. But then I spent 15 months traveling around the U.S. in an RV, drinking beer and eating good food and not exercising, and I got unfit. So
that's the plan I want to be on.
I highly recommend to anybody who's financially independent or not financially independent the whole driving around the U.S. in an RV, drinking beer, eating food, and not exercising. It's fun, but don't count on a good physique when you're done.
I thought it would be really fun, just especially for you, JD, to take a few minutes and talk about what this community, you know, means to you, just because it surprised me that a guy that's been doing this for as long as you've been doing it is willing to take not just 1 but 2 weeks out of his probably, you know, you kind of self-schedule. You have to write 600, 500 articles and you're running out of time. You should be already 14 in by my count right now.
I can vouch that he wrote 2 this weekend.
Well, everyone here has seen me with the computer open, taking notes, composing whenever I can. So.
But it surprised me that, you know, you would take 2 weekends out of your life. And I think you also have plans to do another trip to another camp in the at Mid-Atlantic, Camp by Mid-Atlantic. And to me, that just speaks to someone that just loves every, you know, aspect of this community. But do you have any additional thoughts on what keeps bringing you back?
Well, you're right, Jonathan. I do love the community. I mean, I feel like this is my tribe. This is one of the most relentlessly optimistic communities I've ever seen. And I wonder if that doesn't contribute to people becoming financially independent. Our pal Pete, Mr. Money Mustache, talks about the power of outrageous optimism. And he and I have had several conversations about this concept. And he and I both agree that, I mean, the world is an awesome place and there's so much opportunity out there. And to be with a group of 58 people who all have the same mindset and who are all practicing this outrageous optimism is just, it's fantastic.
Nords, any follow-up on that?
I like being here because it helps me explain to my readers better. When I come to one of these and get the same questions that I get in email or on social media, I get better at answering them. And I do get questions that I never probably would have gotten over email. Sometimes they're extremely personal. The person who's asking them has to make a difficult career choice. For example, one of the things that I've always regretted is that I spent 20 years in the military getting an active duty pension at the age of 41. That sounds totally backwards. But the reality is that when I hit a speed bump in my career at about 12 years of service, if I had been understanding my benefits and my options, I could have left active duty and gone into the reserves and finished the next 8 years in the reserves earning eligibility for a pension at a little less money and a much higher quality of life. So I'm here for these types of meetups to be able to answer those difficult questions about, are you proceeding to financial independence? Is the price that you're paying for reaching that financial independence higher than you should be paying? I have the medical records to show that gutting it out to 20 years on active duty was probably a suboptimal decision. But I've recovered from that. Now I'm here to give you permission to think about doing your career a little differently. And if your priorities change, as Ms. Mizuma mentioned, are you able to realign your priorities and shuffle things around a little bit and reach financial independence a little later? How do you do that if you don't want to spend every waking minute of your life optimizing every single aspect of it?
I just like to add that I'm not obviously financially independent, and I have not been in this community for very long, but in the last year, I've been to quite a few of these events. And to have the wealth of knowledge that you guys provide and a lot of other people who come to these that are already financially independent, it's amazing to be able to come. And this is a conversation that has been said over and over for a few of you who were brand new here this weekend. This is your first event, to see people in person that they've been reading their blogs for years. It's amazing to be able to make that connection and also to get one-on-one conversations going and feel like, because it is your tribe, it's some people who do this, it's their first time here. They haven't found their tribe yet, and they're going to walk away from this weekend feeling like they're not alone and that they're a part of something. So it's huge. And I appreciate you guys coming and keep doing these events and, you know, giving back to the community as much as you already have. So thank you.
You know, I think one of the things that would be just very interesting to talk about, and you were speaking about, you know, the path in the military to FI, the traditional path that people thinking about is that 20-year slog and you got to gut it out till you get your pension. And I think that certainly is a perspective, but I'd love to get your kind of tweak that just a little bit and talk about when life doesn't go the way you plan. We have these perfectly optimized plan on our spreadsheets that project will be done in 5 years, and then it happens, right? How do you react to that, or how do you pivot with those changes, with those unplanned life situations?
If you'd asked me 2 years ago when I first found out about financial independence and the journey I was on, I would have thought there was no way I'd get off track. I was so dead set on this number, this date, this specific path. And then you start to lighten up after the first 1 or 2 years. You're very hard on yourself the first couple of years. You frugal yourself into a corner is what I like to say, because that's what it feels like. You're literally like pinching every penny. And then you realize,
not
okay,
that we've ever been there.
Right. And then you realize I got so much more time to go. Like, this is still my life. You still have to live it. And things happen. We were talking to someone here. I don't know if I could say his name, but and he was ready to fire after this event. He was going to go in and quit his job, and he found out that they're having a baby. So his plan has completely changed. He's completely off the track that he thought he was going to be on. And I'm kind of in the same boat, not with the baby. I'm kind of, and it's not his baby either.
Do you have something? do you have something to announce?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the next blog post.
I'm still, you know, I'm kind of in that same position where I thought I was going to be fine in a couple months, and now all that's changing. But the point that's really important is, we still have the resources. We still have the plans. It just sets a little bit further or a little bit differently. Like you said, you can change a career path, or you can, you know, redo those numbers or talk to someone with, you know, who has other ideas for you. You're still going to get there. It just, you know, a little curve in the road. There's nothing wrong with that.
I saw a study recently. I don't remember where it was. Somebody out here might know, but it is in a sociological journal or a psychological journal. And the study revealed that one of the key factors contributing to the success of wealthy individuals or successful individuals was resilience. And that is, when life deals you a blow, you're able to just get up and go on. And this isn't just like some trite mantra that you hear from some guru pitching you something. This is actual research. They've studied people over, I think it was a longitudinal study over a course of 20 years or something like that. And it revealed that the people who are able to take what life dealt them and then recover from that and go on anyway were the ones who are most successful. And so when life deals you a blow on your path to financial independence, the key is to not let it get you down, I guess, and just to say, all right, well, I guess I've got 2 more years.
Well, I am the poster child for failure at real estate. So, and that was only 4 years ago. And if I could have just stayed on the path I was on 2 weeks ago, or whatever it was that I was going to fire in a couple of weeks, if you just see 4 years and I got here, anyone can do that. It is true. It's about resilience. And you don't know how resilient you are until you've maybe been to the bottom, unfortunately. And you do claw yourself your way up out of that. I had 3 short sales a few years back, and I just finally hit the 4-year mark for my last short sale where I can finally get another loan. I'm not ready not to get one just yet, but you know, 4 years ago, I would have never thought that I could be almost financially independent right now. So
can I just pause? You had three short sales.
Got to get it right. Three times. Took three times.
Third time's the charm.
I know. It was so fabulous.
You are so resilient.
Thank you. But I also, you know, and it's funny. So now I own my studio in the city, and well, now it's rented, but I bought it in cash because I couldn't get a loan. I saved up enough to almost retire. And now, of course, that's changing because I'm moving to a higher cost of living area. But those are the things that are important also to realize that those failures that you have aren't failures. They're just lessons and mistakes, and you move forward. And we see so many success stories in this community, which is great. We need to see more of the failures, because if you don't show that side, you're not showing everything.
I agree 100%. One of my biggest beefs with not just the financial independence community, but all sorts of online communities, it's that they only show the successes. While the successes are awesome and they're inspiring, not everyone is successful. And the community as a whole cannot learn if we don't talk about where people go wrong, what mistakes they make, and where the failures are.
Norris, can you talk a little bit about, in your community, the people that you're serving and helping with your message, what are their biggest pain points, and where do you feel like you're able to help them work through that the best?
I think everybody who joins the military initially is motivated to serve for as long as they can. Some people enjoy what they're doing, and I tell those people on active duty that if you feel challenged and fulfilled, keep doing that. Stay on active duty as long as you're feeling challenged and fulfilled. However, eventually, at some point, your priorities in life might change. It might take 30 or 40 years. It might happen at the end of your four-year obligation. And when it does, take a step back and think about what you want to do next. When the fun stops, then that's the time to consider leaving active duty for the reserves, the National Guard. You get a better quality of life. The reserves and the Guard are the legendary one weekend a month and 2 weeks a year. Those of you that are reservists now are smirking at that. But for most people, it is that type of lifestyle. And it gives you the good parts of the military, the things you enjoy, the camaraderie, the mission, the sense of purpose, and it gives you less of the sucky parts of being on active duty, and hopefully you can design a quality of life around that. The reason I say that is not just because of my personal experience, it's also because I have many readers get in touch with me who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s, saying that they wish that although they didn't want to stay on active duty for 20 years, they could have figured out a way to balance the reserve of the National Guard in their life and reach the eligibility for that pension because it kicks in at 60 years. And the inspiration that they get from that is that they get in the military, they serve an enlistment or two on active duty, then they go into reserves or guard and get their 20 years of reserve or guard service for a pension at age 60. That's an inflation-fighting pension, and it comes with cheap health care. All they have to do is save up the assets for the time between when they leave active duty and age 60. And that's a much more achievable way to get to financial independence, is knowing that even though you have the assets and bad things could happen in the stock market or bad things could happen with your rental properties or whatever your cash flow model is, all those bad things going on only have to last until age 60 before your pension kicks in and then Social Security comes shortly after that. You've effectively immunized yourself against longevity by having that pension coming in. But the nice thing about military readers, military listeners, is that they are all about the resilience. They don't get out of recruit training without being resilient and persistent and motivated, and they've learned to just show up and execute. That's the best part.
Awesome. All right. Well, can the superstar of Camp Phi, Cody, come to the microphone for a second?
We call this a surprised guest.
Surprise.
Thanks, Jonathan. Great to be here.
Awesome, man. So we got a chance to talk for a little bit the other night, and I think everybody here was kind of blown away by your perspective and just kind of just the fact that you grabbed it so quickly. And just for the people that are listening that, you know, didn't have the benefit of meeting you over the last couple of days, how old are you?
21 years old.
Awesome, man. And how did you find the financial independence community?
My mom actually turned me on to the Choose FI podcast.
Are you caught up on all the episodes at this point?
I'm caught up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Cody, well, my question to you from the financial independence community is what, and from a messaging perspective, what are we doing well and how can we do better to reach even younger than you, like, you know, 19, 18? How can we grab them at the age of 16 and 15? Like, what is it? Like, you grabbed this at 21. How do we get the teens?
I think showing things like graphs and those kind of wealth accumulation tools, like, I know Mr. Money Mustache on the Shockingly Simple Math behind Early Retirement. Those types of graphs really resonate with people. Just seeing how much money they can accumulate by putting, say, 10 grand in at my age, not even touching it. It's something like they have it's either between $400,000 and $600,000 by the time they're 65 years old. I think for people my age and younger, those types of visuals really resonate, and like they just really stick a firm picture in their head of what it can possibly be, because they're not just gonna read a bunch of articles. If you tell them, oh, go check out this blog, you're not gonna get a 16-year-old kid to read 100 blog posts or listen to 50 podcasts, listen to 100 podcasts about how they should be accumulating wealth and doing all these little life hacks.
What is it like? Your friends aren't doing what you're doing, right? This isn't just what your social circle's doing.
No, no one in my immediate social circle besides all the people I met at this camp are doing anything like this.
Your tribe, man. What is that light bulb moment for you? Is it because your mom instilled these values of frugality and intentionality? Is it, you know, what was that light bulb awakening moment for you that says, you know what, I'm going to pick a different direction?
I mean, I guess from the beginning, always being frugal, I have the money and I have the mindset of saving. And then after kind of really diving into the community and like listening to people's stories and just listening to how many different paths there are for me to get to early retirement. I mean, I've met 50 plus people at this camp, and I've realized at 21 years old, I could take 10 different directions to retire in less than 10 years quite easily if I'm smart about it. And I mean, it's just absolutely astounding at how many different paths, how many different levers I can pull.
Thank you.
In order to achieve this financial independence, and I can have fun along the way. I don't have to just put my nose to the grindstone for 5 years, work as hard as I can. I can have fun along the way. A lot of different ways I can do it with real estate, index investing.
But you're also already taking action. Like, don't you have a side hustle going now?
Yeah. So I started a disc golf company a year and a half ago with one of my buddies who's a mechanical engineer.
Say the name.
Arsenal Discs.
Soon to be the number one disc golf company in the United States.
Is that arsenaldiscs.com?
Arsenaldiscs.com, yes.
Arsenaldiscs.com. Okay, I should put that in the show links.
Pitch deck available on request.
Thank you.
Very cool, man. Hey, what actionable advice would you give to a 17-year-old that realizes that you've got this thing figured out and wants to follow in your footsteps?
I think kind of two layers to this. They're coming from the saving side and coming from the income accumulation side. So coming from the saving side, just really learn at this age to live below your means. I mean, eat the cheapest food you can. You're in college or high school. Drink the cheapest alcohol you can. Don't get used to luxuries.
Aristocrat all the way.
Exactly. Just don't get used to luxuries, because, I mean, you don't have them in college. I don't have the wealth and resources to go out to nice restaurants all the time. I don't drink expensive alcohol, and those are pretty much all the things I spend money on in college. But I guess for younger readers in high school, just learn the value of, I know you talk about this in podcasts a lot, AP exams, CLEP exams, ways to hack college where you can get like 1 to 2 years of credits. That's awesome. I mean, you can wipe out $100,000 of debt if you're going to a private school. I guess in terms of the income side, do as much networking as you possibly can. Nowadays, the job market, especially in business, where a lot of people are coming from, is so saturated. So if you're not networking, if you're not getting in front of people, getting those interviews, getting internships, you're kind of behind the ball. So you just got to kind of get the ball rolling, use LinkedIn, use contacts, use family.
Do you feel like having a local community, like what the Financial Independence is really trying to do, gives you access to a lot of that, or it will fill some of that in the near future?
I think so, definitely. I mean, even this weekend, I've been presented with opportunities I never would have thought, just because there's so many people working toward the same goal who just really like to hustle and are really ambitious. And you don't really find, I don't really find that as much in college and just normal life working with people. I mean, I just found this community a little under a year ago, actually. So my previous internships and jobs weren't really directly affected by this community, but the opportunities that this community presents to me is just infinite.
JD, I'm wondering, like, as someone that was a train wreck in college, like, what's it like to hear that?
This is awesome. Cody knows that I think what he's doing is amazing, and I want to get his story out, because I think so many people, most people, 90% of people, well, okay, let's not go that high. Let's say half the people out there are like I was in college, and they're taking on debt, whether it's from student loans, or in my case, it was credit cards. And they're not, they don't have the financial skills. They don't have the forethought and the planning to achieve financial success in the short term or even the long term. They're just going to go out there and become consumers and just average Americans. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't want to sound like I'm down on that, but that's not going to lead you to achieve financial success or to achieve the other goals that you might have until you're in your 50s or 60s. And so with Cody, his story is so inspiring and is an example of how a young person can say, oh, look, I'm willing to take the long view. I'm willing to make these choices and I'm going to do it. I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to go for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And my plan is by then I'll be able to retire in quotes or be financially independent and do what I want.
So, Cody, you inspired J.D. Roth. So thank you for contributing this weekend. All right. So I thought it'd be really cool. I want to introduce John. He's here with us this weekend. He's literally right at the cusp of whether or not he could pull the early retirement lever. But I'd be curious, you know, give us some feedback. And then also, hey, if you have a question, definitely ask it.
Thanks a lot. And I'm kind of upset I have to follow him because he's quite the show to follow. Good job, Cody. And it was great to meet you this weekend. Both my wife and I are very close to pulling the trigger. But we have some issues right at the end here that we're concerned about. And I thought a great strategy, and I'm not sure Natalie was on board with this concept, is one of us maybe pull the trigger first to kind of ease into things. But then talking to others here, there's some challenges with that of somebody coming home and the other one's kind of pulling the whole trailer behind them. And the other one seems like one's doing all the work and the other one's not. Do you have an idea of is that a good strategy? Is that a flawed strategy? Or at least what are the pitfalls of going that direction?
Yeah, I love this. And actually, we have Joel from Phi 180 here who is going through this exact scenario right now. I would love to get your input on that, Joel. What has that transition been like?
Hey, Jonathan. Yeah, so I'm going through almost that exact same thing. I actually pulled the trigger back in November. The wife is still working. She wants to work about another year, maybe another year and a half. And basically, there's good to it, but there's also a little bit of trouble to think about when you make that decision. So for us, I like it. We talked a lot about it. We talked about this decision. And what I'm doing to support her while she's continuing to work is I'm kind of taking over some of the household duties, taking care of, you know, the cooking, the cleaning and this and that. So when she comes home, there's dinner on the table, kind of showing the support that I support her and I know how hard the job that we have is. And so that's important to do. But I think it's funny because it changes a little bit of the dynamic. Even though we are financially independent, we've hit that line. She still tests me sometimes. So she came up and she said, I want to buy this $600 bag the other day that she told me. And she just, you know, stares at me in the face. And I said, okay. And I said, I guess you're the breadwinner now. And she said, she looked at me and she said, yeah, that's right. I'm the breadwinner. So it's kind of funny because it changes the dynamic a little bit, but I think it can work if you guys talk it through and it can be a great way to bridge that gap. So I look at it as I dove into Phi and she's, you know, dipping her feet in the water. So she might take this opportunity this year to ramp down a little slower. So for example, I'm trying to convince her to go to a 30-hour work week so she can kind of slow down a little bit and ease into Phi. It also helps from the perspective of we can kind of add a little bit more to our portfolio than we were originally planning to. So she's adding, you know, we're actually still saving this next year. A little bit more than we would have if we pulled right when we hit that number, which is nice, you know, to build a little bit of a buffer. But I think the important thing is to talk about it together, see which spouse it makes sense for to keep working, who enjoys their job a little bit more, maybe. I was super burned out from my job, and it was beyond time for me to pull the trigger. But Alexis still likes her job. She's on a program that works well for her. And she works with coworkers who are friends. And so it just made a little bit more sense for her to stay on a little longer. Although I will say, 2 months in now, I'm trying to convince her to quit. So I want her to, I want her to come and join me on, you know, on the dark side. And because it really is nice to be able to have that free time. And so I'm trying to get her to be a little more risk-seeking. Yeah, Jonathan.
Do you think it makes a difference that she can get out anytime she wants? Like she's not stuck there. She's not trapped. So you may be playing your video games at 1 p.m. in the afternoon once you get tired of house cleaning. But she knows that she can get out anytime she wants. And that makes it more palatable and also eases that maybe power dynamic or, you know, relational situation that you have there?
Yeah. Well, first, that is exactly my day. I house clean until 1 o'clock, and then it's video games all day. Now, it's, you know, on the days that I remember to put on the pants, I think that was the takeaway from my presentation.
Awkward for everybody.
Yeah. But no, it does. It changes the dynamic, because she knows now, and I keep reminding her, everything that she's bringing in is gravy. Everything that she's bringing in is above and beyond what our plan was. And it's just this way to do it a little slower. And so what I told her, and what I think she's getting behind this idea, is as soon as it stops being fun, as soon as she stops enjoying what she's doing, it's time to pull the trigger. Now, there is one thing that we didn't really talk about here, because for us, I'm the guy and I'm staying home taking care of the household. Some family kind of has a little, it can have a weird family dynamic. So it can look like that I'm a bum, that I'm just sitting at home being a bum and not contributing to the household. So we haven't actually told her parents yet that I'm, you know, that I'm
a bum
working. Yeah, that I'm a bum.
I think you just did tell her parents, Joel.
Yeah. Well, so it's two things though. So one, it's that you don't want to appear like you're lazy and you're not contributing. But two, I actually find myself unusually wanting to make money just so that I can show that I'm also contributing. So it's kind of weird. Do you get this drive to try to want to find things that you can pull an income in?
Awesome. John, do you have any follow-up questions that are tied to that?
Well, first off, I really appreciate Joel and the feedback there. And that was kind of what I was looking at. And it sounds like there's upside and downside, like there is on anything. But, I mean, I guess our biggest issue is around we make a good living and the train keeps moving down the tracks. And that's great. And I can keep adding on. And it's a point of when I just need the impetus. And I think I got that here from all the supportive people that I've met, of it's time to turn the train off here, or at least slow it down, as we were talking about here, and get off the treadmill, or the hamster wheel, as we like to call it here. And I think this group has maybe helped me make that decision here.
I think that one of the points that Joel makes in the talks that he gives, and it's one of the most valuable points that we hear, is that so many people think that it's a one-way door, right? And I love the description of the turnstile. You know, your worst case scenario is everyone else's every day. You have a skill set, it's highly developed, and now you have time to pursue something that gets you excited. There's no downside here.
And I was just going to add one thing to think about. I like this analogy. When you step away from work, you're not hitting the brakes in any way on your savings, on your portfolio. I like to think of it as you're just taking your foot off the accelerator. You're still going. You're still flying. You're not moving backwards. You're not hitting the brakes. You're just taking your foot off the accelerator. And whether you both do that, or whether it's just one of you, whether you take a break and maybe you find something else that you're passionate about that maybe starts bringing and trickling in a little bit of income in the future, just look at it like that. You aren't stopping all the progress that you've made. You never move backwards. You're just taking that foot and easing it off the accelerator.
Let me add to that you can quit cold turkey, and you can coordinate quitting together, or you can decide whose job sucks the worst and let them quit first. Take a vote. But there's also the option of going part-time. There's also the option of taking a sabbatical. There's a 30-day vacation, perhaps. You can negotiate with work and figure out how to slow down there and maybe improve parts of your life, or at least get rid of the bad parts while still bringing in some income. You've hit the finish line. Question is whether you want to take a victory lap or whether you just want to go sit in the stands now. And again, I will say that sitting around in your underwear all day and playing video games may not be the best way to greet your spouse when they come home after a tough day at the office. I've done all my surfing in the early mornings so that I'm more productive for the rest of the day. But if you do want to quit, that's a position that is a personal decision, and you don't have to coordinate with each other as much as you have to figure out how you're going to support each other and how you're going to make that transition.
Do you realize how much power you have when you're ready to quit in terms of negotiating with your boss? They're now negotiating to keep you. And for you, Natalie, I know you do some stuff in graphic design. It strikes me that there are so many flexible work arrangements with something like that. And if they say no, you're out. I mean, what other situation that you have all the cards? If you don't get exactly what you want, who else can even think like that? And so I think that we talk about five being a superpower, this continuum of control that's moving the power to your court. And when you're here, you officially have all the power in how you're going to choose to live your life.
Yeah, let me what we'd been, at least I'd been considering for this next year as we were getting closer to saying bye-bye to the daily grind was moving from a 45-minute commute each way to saying, all right, I'd like to work from home because I don't need to be in my office. No one that I work with is in my office. They're all in other remote locations. It's all email. I can email from my couch in my underwear also.
Yes! I choose five.
Yeah, so
the financial independence movement is all about getting everyone in their underwear.
I'm glad we could get that clarified.
Can we do that before the next pull-up challenge, please? I would like everyone in their underwear.
Yes, we'll be looking for Choosify underwear now.
If only we had a graphic designer.
I wish I thought to get the trademark.
There you go.
Thank you.
That'll be my next project, I guess, right?
Just shoot the design my way. We'll take a look.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
cover me undies. They're delightfully comfortable.
That'd be great. I guess once you hit the FU money stage, you know, if they're not going to give me what I want, we can always walk away.
That's right. That's right. I think that's exactly what I see as well.
We need to introduce you to a few groups from the financial community who are trying to write blog posts and add graphic design to that. And if you wanted to freelance graphic design for the rest of your life with the FinCon group, I'm looking at JD's thumbs up on it. You'll never go hungry again.
I would actually love to get Mindy, Mrs. 1500, to give her thoughts on career design for someone that has some talents in this field, if she could maybe speak to that.
Oh, sure. The best part about not needing a job is you make your own job. I was able to make my own job. I get to do what I want to do, and I don't have to do the parts that I don't want to do. If you want to work twice a week or you want to work, you know, 50 hours a week, you just go to your boss and say, here's what I've got. Here's what I want. Can you match this? And if they can't match it, say, then I'm going to leave. Sometimes that gets them to be able to match whatever it is that you want just by threatening to leave or walking away or here's my 2-week notice. And sometimes they let you walk away and you go find something completely different that's a way better fit. And sometimes they let you walk away and they call you back a couple of weeks later. They're like, we can't live without you. What do you want? What do you need? How can we get you back here? So once you're ready to completely walk away, I do think that it is kind of a threat. I'm going to leave if you don't do this. You have to be prepared to leave. You have to be totally ready to leave. And if you're not ready to leave, it can be, you know, you can't always predict what they're going to say. If they're going to say, sorry, that's too bad, we'll miss you, then you have to be accepting of that and like go in there with that mindset. They're going to say no. And they might say no. But like JD said, Doug said, I've got 1,000 people that want your services. I can keep you busy 100 hours a week. So quit your job and come.
At a very good hourly rate.
Yeah,
Get Rich Slowly needs a new logo. I mean,
yeah.
All right. Awesome. Natalie, you're good to go. All right, John, I got one more question for you.
Sure.
So you came here with this. You have everything you need from an investment perspective. And you know this. I mean, you can tell. Like, you talked to you for 5 minutes and it comes across quite clearly that you have far surpassed whatever number you need, even by a conservative standard. What is it at this point, with all the information that you heard up to this point, with all the feedback from people that are like, hey, it's great over here, come join us. What's holding you back?
I think it's like what I said before. It's the gravy train. I enjoy my job. Not that I want to do it for the rest of my life, but I don't mind it. It pays well. It has great benefits. Benefits scared me walking in here, I can tell you that. I had a lot of good discussions. Healthcare is the biggest question, I think, for everybody who's about to pull the trigger. Not only for, I know what the scenarios are right now, but those scenarios could change on a dime in a week. I just pulled the trigger and look at this. And I could give you 1,000 of those kind of scenarios that are like, what happens if, and what about this, and what if this happened, and if we all got killed by a hurricane tomorrow? So it's all those irrational fears, and the only way you can dampen those irrational fears is talking to people like that are already here, that have already pulled the trigger and say, what are you waiting for, stupid? Do it. and that's kind of what I got. That's what I was looking for. I was looking for justification and support, and that's really what I found here. So I appreciate that.
All right, well, you're going to let us know.
I'll let you know soon.
I have nothing further to add, as Charlie Munger would say.
Love it. I was thinking it'd be really cool, Brad and Mark, if you guys want to come up for a second. So guys, I was talking to you guys earlier, and just generally, just because you were talking about this idea of community and just what this weekend had really, you know, meant to you. And I'd be curious, Brad, just talking to you and maybe Mark, get you to kind of editorialize a little bit, but like, what was your thoughts about what something like this would be, a 3-day carve out where you get out of your normal life and you go meet some like minds? What was your idea of what it might be? And then how has that shifted and what is it now? Can you speak to that for a few minutes?
Yeah, so I'll just be totally candid with that. And so when I was coming, I'm an extrovert, and I wanted a friend to take with me, right? So I heard about the camp on the Choose a Five podcast, and I talked to Mark about it, and he was on board immediately. So it's just something I'm more comfortable with. I don't even ride the car without calling somebody, so it just made me more comfortable. And this is the first camp or anything FI that I've ever attended, and I think at first I was thinking, you know, I'm going to go to this camp and there's probably going to be a lot of these like weird, hardcore people that I'm just not going to see eye to eye with. And I think that is the first hump I got over. And it was incredible to see that, like, it's just normal people and it's amazing.
You had me at weird and hardcore.
Yeah, right. but yeah, so I think that was the first hurdle I got over, was realizing that I sort of somewhat stereotype my own community, and then just getting here and realizing these are normal people, and sort of like Cody said, on this path, and they're coming from 10 different directions, and it's amazing just to, I think, like everyone's mentioned, just to sort of meet your tribe.
And Mark, I'm curious your perspective maybe on that, but also like, where do you think this goes from here?
Yeah. So I'll just double down on what Brad said to begin with. And as the introvert, I'll keep my answer a little bit shorter. So I kind of expected, I don't know what I expected, to be honest. I knew Choose If I was growing, and it's, I'm part of the Facebook group and kind of been watching comments, and I listen to all the shows, and Brad got me into the actual podcast. I've been on the FI journey for a while now, but then I got here and, man, just incredible experience, incredible to spend so much time and share stories and really just sit down and reevaluate my FI journey. I've been on it for a while, so I feel like I've just been coasting and totally missing out on the community piece of it. And this is such a big piece of it. And man, it's amazing. So where does it go from here? Like, the camp is so cool. You come, you spend time, you swap stories, you walk away with friends. And because of that, it's going to grow. I mean, there's no way it could not grow. And I think, like, Brad and I were just spitballing before we started the group meeting here. And, I think it just inspires me as an introvert, crazy enough, to want to spread the message more than I ever had or haven't in the past. Mm-hmm. So where does it go? I think it's just an inspiration for everyone here to go out and share the message more, and be more comfortable doing that. And I mean, like, I'm going to invite people to camp. I'm going to be back next year. And, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. For an introvert, that's cool.
That's freaking cool, man.
All right, guys. The fire is spreading.
No, don't steal it from me. Do not steal it from me. All right, guys, give yourself a round of applause.
And we're both two lovers.
The fire is spreading, my friends. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth, one life hack at a time.